I've got to go ahead and record. Welcome to the 28th of July Aries Bifold user group call. Note that the antitrust policy notice, because this is a Linux Foundation call, and the code of conduct. So we're creating a safe and welcoming community. So glad to have all of you joining us today. Want to start off with welcome everybody and introductions. So if you're new or returning, if you would like to introduce yourself, we would love to hear from you. Awesome. To go over announcements, I don't think there's too much here on announcement wise, but mediation support was merged into AFJ. And then moving into deployments and work updates, a lot's been happening on the AFJ side of things. Continuing the updates for mediation support, lots of other things. Timo, do you have things that you wanted to add to this, since you've been working there the most?
He said he was in the bike, and I'm not sure if he's able to respond.
Sweet. I think we're making good progress on the AFJ side of things. I know we're working on the transports, as well as some of the automation of the presentations and credential protocol flows. And we recently moved to a mono repo structure on AFJ. It is so continuing work on order revocation, and some lots of work happening on AFJ is the moral of the story. As for the agenda today, what I had put here for is to have a demo and some code overview from Neil, and then relevant state management discussion. I know Neil had some questions and thoughts here, and then any questions for maintainers or other discussion. Is there anything else that we would like to add to the agenda today?
I guess that sort of is a state management topic anyway, but I was wondering, now the Redux stuff is in AFJ, what we are going to do with the Redux stuff that is in Bifold still.
That is a very relevant question. Awesome. And with that, I will pass it to you, Neil. Take it away.
Awesome. Just get my screen share going. Up. Awesome. Can everyone see that?
Yes, sir.
Cool. So we're just going to go through the app here. This is just the terms and conditions page. And then we come into here where you get to really see where some of the redesigns really came in handy with the text inputs and stuff. You can't see the text I'm inputting because of iOS security, but it's in there, I promise. And it looks really nice. So when we create a pin and then we get to put it in, and then it brings us to our homepage here. And you can see here, we have our connections, our mediators already there, our scan page, is here. See my beautiful backyard. Over here, we don't have any credentials in our settings. But then if we just come over here, scan our connection.
And that's a QR code generated from the toolbox, correct?
Yeah.
So Akapai is back in here.
Of course, doesn't work the first time, as it always tends to do. Well, let's do that again. I guess I can put on do not disturb mode so you don't see all my private conversations popping up. So we're having a problem still with this, not that, with the Azure, the core async iterator polyfill thing, not quite working right, but for the most part, it is working. So now if we scan our, got the pending and then the connection's complete, and then this just stays up here until you press continue, just to really hammer it home that it worked. So then back here, you can see we have our electric boogaloo contact that came through. So now if we go home and I come over here and I issue a credential, to Aries Bifold. And this credential just is taking my name and age. You can't see this part, but you know, you've seen it plenty of times. So when I click issue, maybe I issued it to the wrong Aries Bifold, probably. Let's try that again. Great.
Technical difficulties?
Yeah.
We have a small agenda, don't worry.
Let's see. I should be looking. So weird. I'm just going to create a new schema real fast.
Is it blowing up on the toolbox end from the looks of it?
It looks like it. Nothing's happening. But I was dumb and tried to test it first to make sure it would work. And so it worked the first time flawlessly, obviously, but then I try to recreate it and it's like all the IDs and everything, you know how what happens.
So what I would say is try closing the app and creating a new connection and issuing to that connection with the existing cred def that you have to kind of take it from a baseline. That'd be my proposal, at least. I think part of this effort was not only a UI update, but also a code structure update. So we could also just jump into some of the code structure and look at that, Neil.
Yeah. Just ruined my entire day, but that's okay.
Maybe we should just stop calling these things demos because it never works.
It never works. It's true. What we could do there, Neil, is troubleshoot the issues there, and then we can do a video as you were thinking, because we have received requests to have a video of going through the process. So that's probably a good mechanism to do here.
Okay. So the biggest change in the code here is the actual file structure. So at the base, we just have this global styles file that's mainly just our colors. And everywhere in the app where these colors are used are just referencing this, so that it just allows for white labeling and possible light dark mode things in the future. But I just did it in a dark mode because I want it to feel like a more futuristic kind of thing, you know? So we have four different folders: our components, our contexts, our navigators, and our screens. And these contexts aren't really being used anymore, so they're just there hanging out for now. But in our components, we have all the building blocks of our app. So buttons, we just have one right now. And this button has three different states pretty much. So just the default, which is our app color, then disabled, neutral, and negative. So if it's a neutral button, it'll just be a nice gray, but then a negative will be red. And then we have our inputs, all our different things that we need, our list items, our modals, all that stuff. And it all comes into here and then is all exported back out so that if we're in one of our screens here, you can see that we just are able to import those components from there and then just use them like this. So that the main thing is that in these screens, we don't have any styling going on. The screen's job is just to be able to throw together all the components to look right. So our home screen that you guys saw, you can see here, it's literally just the components set up and nothing else. Makes that a lot simpler. Another big change is that I implemented React navigation. So it all is rendered inside this tab navigator with all the nice icons. And then each tab is rendering a stack navigator with all of the screens that we need in there. So what you didn't see is when a credential offer comes in, there's a little notification item there that you click on and it takes you to this screen. Credential offer here. And that has the list of the requested information and then a button to accept or reject it. And then when you click on either of those, it just takes you back to the home screen. and all that is handled really nicely through React Navigation, so we don't have to deal with a bunch of just helps us keep our minds clearer that way. Is there anything else you wanted me to touch on, James? I think that's a good gist.
No, I think that's awesome. Is there any questions on this?
Not from my side. It looks pretty saucy. It's I like the structure of the folders and the index export. That's always a good thing. So, yeah, nice job.
So I think this has an open PR right now, Neil. So this is something that we could actually give a review to at this point, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for showing off your work here. It's been awesome. So appreciate your work there. And jumping to the next point, and this actually goes in quite nicely. One of the things that I've wanted to do here is have Neil jump on to getting Bifold working utilizing the Redux store versus accessing AFJ directly. So my thought process here, Kareem, was I think it would be great to have Bifold consume that package. That's my initial thoughts on that point, at least.
I agree. Neil sent me some messages here and there about some unclarities, which I completely understand. It's not documented at all, and it's kind of messy. So, It is. It has its own little way. I'd say like. First of all, I just did a fix on the initialize agent function, which is just a helper function that initializes the agent in sort of a default or the store. You pass in the agent and it initializes the store with a default configuration. So all the what is it now? It's connections, credentials, and proofs. But I did that in AFJ since, well, we moved the package there. So I think it might be good to to keep one code base of this and not two.
I agree.
So my proposal would be to remove it from Bifold, from the Bifold repo. And I think I saw a issue or a discussion somewhere about the package not being released on NPM. That is currently true. It is not released on NPM yet. It's just a package inside the AFJ repository. So you can use it as like a file import, and you can probably YARM pack it and then do it that way.
It is released.
It is released.
Yeah, Timo is a wizard and took care of it.
Today. Then
no, last week. What?
You sneaky snake. All right, that's cool. That is that's nice. All right, so then you can just easily install it, I guess. But all in favor of removing it from Bifold?
I agree with it as well. I think having discussions around it and or the usage of it does make a lot of sense in this group because it definitely applies here.
I agree, totally. No, totally. And it's like we have had some discussions in the AFJ calls as well about is it the right place? And well, not everyone is as happy with it, I think. But I'd say the AFJ call is just about AFJ core or core, like the real agent stuff. And and state management can be discussed here.
Agreed.
Cool. Neil, I guess you had some questions still. we can discuss them here, or we can do another call on this.
It's a new pattern that I've never seen before. And so I was wondering, like, how you actually get the app to talk to the state management in the first place. Because I've been reading through, and all of your thunks and all of the actual code is really nice. I just don't know how to interact with it at the starting point.
That I can completely understand. It is quite, I had some difficulty writing it myself because there's a lot of async stuff going on. And well, there is, like, we've tried to, or I've tried to create it in a way where you can either use the initialize agent or initialize store, I think, function, which just gives you all the, like, it is separated into slices, right? So you have a slice that, which is a Redux toolkit thingy, where you can, like, categorize pieces of your store nicely and separate them out. So you have different slices. Might make sense to look at the code while we're talking about this. So I will sort of quickly look that up. Yep. I can share my screen. There we go. Is this all visible?
Yes.
Cool. So this is the package, the root of it all. So these are the slices. We have a little folder called slices. And I've separated them by topic, so by credentials, connections, proofs. And in those, this is like, it's a repeating pattern, but in those you have a connection listener, or connections listener, you have a selector, a slice, and a thunk, and a thunks file. The listener is just something that you'll have to call, start connection listener, which just listens for the events coming from AFJ and then updates the store accordingly. Let's jump back a little bit. Was that here? No. So this is the initialize store function. This is the thing I just fixed because there was only connections was passed in. So the store you would get out of this function would only be able to handle connections. But basically you can pass in an agent here, and what it will return is a use dispatch hook and a store. And the store then has all the slices after the PR is merged, which I think it is now. The store would have an agent slice, a connection slice, a credential slice, and a proof slice.
So question, should we initialize the agent before we pass it to the store? It take care of some of that?
This is a funny thing. No, that's a peculiar thing of this whole stuff. If we go into the slices, we have one agent file, which is basically the agent slice, and it has these properties. So it is initialized. Wow, talking is hard. And it has an action, which is initialize agent. So basically you create your agent based on the configuration, blah, blah, blah. Then you pass it into the initialize store function. You get a store back, and then you dispatch this action on the store, which will then make sure it is initialized. And you can use these things to, show a loader or whatever. So the other thing is you can view it as a sort of a factory function. It's a simple
So the agent initialization, that whole process is similar to it as it is now, where we set up our config, and then we create an instance of the agent with that config, but then we pass it to the store and call the initialize action instead of calling that.
Instead of doing it yourself.
Yeah.
So I'll quickly run through one of these, because again, they are the same, more or less. So the listener, if you want the connection record list, like the state, to be updated, you should call the start connections listener method, and that counts for the others exactly the same. Then you have the selectors, and selectors are just the hooks. Like, I was doubting about what handy selectors are, but this one will just basically give you the a partial state, so it will give you the connection slice back, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the things the hooks you use to pull something out of the store. The slice, when you're using the initialize store function, you don't have to really worry about this, but we are exporting everything so that, I don't know, in the future, if the store becomes bigger and people just want a subset of the store, they are able to initialize their own store. You probably don't want to initialize, like if you're using Redux for your app state management anyway, you probably don't want to use the initialize store function, because it gives you a store that is purely about the agent. And it might be better to create a store that has everything all together. But I'm not super sure about that. But basically, this is just, it has all the actions. It uses the thunks, like the thunks are the actual, here the actual agent is called. So you have agent get all, if agent create connection, blah, blah, blah. But they are merged together in the slice, again, which is just a helper function of Redux toolkit. The difference between reducers and extra reducers is extra reducers are asynchronous stuff, where you have these pending, rejected, and fulfilled cases you can handle.
So I have two questions.
Go ahead.
Does this preserve the TypeScript types effectively, or is it? Do we have problems in that regard?
It should. It should, with some like really, really black magic stuff from Timo, like this kind of black magic stuff. I mean, I'm even like if I am in, let's say, a selector here. Or no, not a selector, let's take a thunk. Like you see, I get it from a thunk API, which is just a weird Redux construction. But even here, agent is typed. So it should also, because everything is typed inside, it should also return. And I think Timo has some experience with actually running this thing or using this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've not heard him about, hey, there's no typing or whatever. He would have hit me by now.
Awesome.
One thing is to note is this whole Redux store thing is a little bit built. Like if you look at the kind of actions there are, it's like create connection, receive invitation, everything, like all the basically, just tried to map most of the module functions. I had a discussion with Timo about this. It is probably not like this way. You don't have to, but this store is set up so you can do everything through the store with a dispatch, and the whole agent provider isn't necessary anymore. But in hindsight, it does bring some probably unnecessary complexities with it. Like if you want to just create, let's say, receive an invitation, don't really have to do that as an action. Like the important thing
access here the agent directly, right?
Sorry?
That, yeah, we could just access the agent directly versus using the thunk to do that. Is that
exactly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what I mean the nicest thing of this package is that the store is updated automatically when let's say a connection record changes or whatever. Like that is desirable, but dispatching everything for the store. Yeah, well, in some cases you might want to do that because in some cases you might, I don't know, like if you have auto accept and you're receiving an invitation, it's probably going to take a while. So then in that case, you probably want to show a loader, which could be done in this way, but could also be done in other ways. Like you can also just manually pop up a Boolean so that is more of a design choice. I just went completely mental in this and tried to do everything. It's probably, so we'll have to see, I think in the future, if we have a few people working on this or working with this, what they actually use. Because if only 40% of the functions is used, there's no point in maintaining them.
And yeah, that's one of my worries is that we have to then mimic the functionality of the modules. So there's two things that need to be updated, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But if people are getting value from it, then that's worthwhile. But that's a
go ahead.
If I may hop in for a second, it's like I've used it in one of the apps we're building. And what I've noticed is that the state management is very nice because for development now, I have just set, for example, the new auto accept credentials and proofs to always. And now just the UI, it's processing and doing all the automated steps with the listeners from the store. It's like the UI is updated automatically and I don't have to worry about anything of it. And that's, I think, super nice because a lot of the complexity from there is taken away. These wrapper methods, indeed, I'm not sure if they're always. I think maybe certain actions are very nice. With what Kareem said with, for example, the loading state, that's that makes it's nice because, for example, when we process an invitation, we want to show a loading indicator, or when we accept a credential offer, we want to show something, and that could be using the state that's updated. And if we proxy it through the Tunks, then we can automatically handle that in here. But I think maybe at the moment they're very use case specific or for flow, so you could wrap it yourself in that case. I think we should definitely keep the state with the automatic listeners. And maybe for now, to keep it simple, remove maybe the Tunks completely and just, we can always add them back if they make sense.
I tend to agree with that thought process.
I do agree. I mean, I spent way too much time in the tongues, but definitely agree. and also like regarding the loaders is if you look at how, for instance, the connection state is divided, is we have a is loading in connections, which in connections is just it has records. So if it's fetching the records, you could use this is loading thing. And then we have something for invitation also. But I'm definitely not sure how to separate, like probably the type of loaders you're going to want in your app are quite use case specific. Like you, it depends on how you design your app, what is on what screen. Because initially I had like one just connection state loader basically. And Timo had a good point. Like you probably want to separate those things out. You don't like if I'm doing something with if I'm on an invitation screen, but the agent is fetching records and it starts showing a loader, that's probably not what you want. But then again, it depends on, do you have an invitation screen? So also in that regard, I'm not sure if this makes too much sense, but indeed the code is written and we can remove it and we can always move it back. So
I think leaving this one in and seeing how useful it is makes sense. Like, does it make sense? Is this really helpful or is it less helpful, right?
It's also a good approach. It's just to leave everything in and then see what is actually used and what is not.
I'm somewhat on board with Timo's proposal for the thunks of removing those and bringing those back if we find the need for them. But this seems like this could serve an immediate value potentially. And so
the thing with this is that down here, the thunks are called. So for instance, get all connections, when it's pending, it will set the thing to true. So if we don't have any thunks, it will never set the loader to true. Because the event listener is something that happens in the background, and it just updates the state and then your screen will be updated automatically. So that's not something you want to, but you probably want to show a loader when a user is doing some, clicking some kind of button or whatever, and then all of a sudden has to wait. And you want to like, hey, calm down, we're working on it. I think it only makes sense to keep the loaders in if we also keep the thunks in, or some of the thunks. I mean, we can also just look at processing time. You know, some things are probably much quicker or way quicker than others. So if you have something that is done in like under a millisecond, yeah, does it make sense then to have a loader? Like maybe that is how we should approach if it's worth having a thunk, yes or no. Does it take significant time?
I think the interesting thought for me though is that it you said that the ways that we're going to be accessing and using it varies a lot by app and use case, right? So I'm not sure if the maintenance would outvalue, or the value would outweigh the maintenance.
I agree. I mean, the other thing is we could look at how to, very good documentation on how, like, if you need it, something, then how would you create a thunk that has typing? So just very solid documentation, because indeed, I just did three modules here and it's already a lot. Like it is a lot to maintain. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I agree with the thought process of doing documentation, because I could see the value in being able to create thunks, but I also don't want to maintain and reduplicate the efforts of the modules of the core. So
I agree. Well, the good thing is it's only the public API, so it's something internally in the AFJ changes, and it's not too, but still, Timo.
I have one point where I noticed that things were nice, and I'm not sure if Redux is the right tool to solve it, but with the wrappers is we have like the Flipper desktop application that you can use with React Native, and it has a Redux plugin, and you get a real nice like flow of actions that happen within the agent also, because everything goes through like the Redux store. So you see, all right, I received an invitation from this URL, then this state updated to this, and you, without it, you still have the state update. You just don't have the actions that you perform on the agents, which it provides some insight, which can be definitely, if you're not that familiar, I think it can help, because you see exactly like the flow of the app, but it's maybe not the thing why we should use it.
Just to clarify, are you, because I haven't seen this code base in a while, are you dispatching all the, like the thunks? Are you using the thunks, or are you mainly calling it directly on the agent?
No, I'm using thunks. Yeah, I haven't used the agent directly anywhere, I think, except for the custom wallet initialization with the lazy initialization for biometric unlocking. That's where we do custom. But I do it a lot of times. I wrap an extra thunk around it. So because we have a custom flow in our app, I create a thunk flow for that. And inside that thunk, I can create another. I can call other thunks. So you get like the flow of when we have basically a QR code scanned, we can call multiple thunks in a row to perform like actions. But we also call them directly, but all thunks, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is an upside, I guess, but it's probably,
Better mechanism of giving insight that's not Redux specific?
Probably, yeah. I don't know. No, I'm not sure how we should model it, but I think it should be fairly, because it's fairly, if we like upgrade how logging works in AFJ, you'll get the same, like, you should get the same information.
Yeah, that I agree. I think logging, upgrading that process would be, I think, the route I would take for getting that kind of insight. That's my take, at least.
I agree. You shouldn't, if you use the with or without Redux, you should be able to see what's going on. Like, it's a bit, it's a bit nasty to say, you want to debug? So okay, then you have to use Redux. It's probably not the way to go.
We should definitely update the logging. In AFJ, like, we have a real nice logger now, but like where we log is very inconsistent, and sometimes we log very low level stuff, and sometimes we the most basic stuff we don't log. So we should probably just take a good look at the code base and go by everything and add logging statements.
The good thing about I guess Flipper has that too. I played around with it for a while, but you can filter on topics. You can say, okay, now I just want to see what's going on with, because the AFJ logs are just insane. It's like you have to read really, really fast, or have memory of a big memory. And it would be nice to have like a mechanism to say, okay, I'm interested in only this, like let's say only the stuff that's going on with connections, or only the credentials part. That is the upside, I guess, of Redux.
Something I've used with logging though previously is attaching tags as part of the logs, so you could be able to search via a tag or listen to just a tag. So I just want to look at connections, and if all the logs that are relating to connections have that tag associated, then you would be able to search by that tag for those logs. And that can get generalized or specific. Like, I could see that being really useful for like mediation logs or message processing logs. Cause like right now we'll get a verbose, like, this is the encoded data that we received, and I can't parse the encrypted information. So the log isn't very helpful, but it could potentially be useful for troubleshooting that specific area, right? So that's one thought.
Something I think I'm stealing your agreed, by the way. I think there are a lot of loggers have this functionality, and it's probably easy to implement ourselves,
because of the logger. I think there's an open issue in AFJ with logger improvements, because I made like the first implementation, and what I wanted was an interface that just had the methods, and I later added the name to it. So mainly because I noticed in the tests, that's very helpful because you can be every test gets a separate logger. So you see exactly which log come from which test that you're running. But there's an open issue. I think if you can like share some of your thoughts in there on how that worked, because I haven't worked with that before. So I would be interested to hear about it.
You spawn multiple loggers with multiple instances?
In the tests we do, yeah. For like each test case gets its own logger with its own name. So you like we all console it to the we all log it to the console, but because we have that information, the name, we can see which tests the log originated from.
Yeah, I've also seen recently, I'll try to find it. I don't remember, but a logger that logs like the file name and the line where it happened, which is pretty super useful, I guess, also for AFJ development itself.
I think that's, that's React Native's fault. With we have that in Node.js. It's just that React Native has, in my opinion, very bad source map support and tracing. So
it's quite poor, yeah. Okay, but we need a insanely configurable logger. Nice one. All right.
Agreed.
Okay. I'll look up the issue. Okay, yeah, go ahead. I'll look up the issue and put it in the chat so we can continue the discussion there. But shoot.
Yes, on with the Redux store, to bring that back around, wondering how we would like to approach documentation for that. Is this something that you think, Neil, you can help with? Is this something that makes the most sense for you to kind of write some stuff up on Kareem or to?
Yeah, I think the thing is I never really used it myself. I had one like Node.js test .ts file where I basically checked every, and I think there's also a good portion of the test is missing still. But Timo did, and if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, Timo, you were also initializing the store yourself. So not using the helper function there. And it might be good to have some documentation on well, okay, you can take the easy route and just use the helper function or but also some documentation on how you would go forward in initializing it yourself. And I guess that also depends on
I can extract some of the setup we have and how we set it up because we know that that works and put that in a markdown document. I think that would help. Are you using other Redux stuff in the wallet or?
As of right now, I don't believe we are in the Bifold app. You can correct me on that, Neil.
No, there's no Redux in the Bifold at all.
Are you using something else for state management or is there, or just manual updates? Is
it manual per screen, I believe. Huh. Which is not then, ideal.
But then for now, we can just extract the setup we have, but I'll update it to the simple one with the help of Kareem. And then you can use that for now. And then we also know if the documentation is correct because you use it. And then for now we say, if you're an advanced user, you can figure it out yourself and then we can add that later on.
So just to be clear here, you mean with the simple one, you mean the helper function?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Just another thought would also be good to then, if we, and that depends on what we decide on doing with the thongs, if we remove them, also have some clear documentation on how you would like put your custom stuff in like how you would initialize your custom, I don't know, loader and relating thongs in there. I guess we will make an initial draft of that, and then we'll see where we land. The place for documentation, now I'm thinking about it, that would be, I guess, in the package itself, right? So a README inside this bad boy.
That would be my favorite place to put it.
Timo, you're the AFJ boy, the AFJ god.
Sorry, I was distracted. But what's the question?
The question is where would we put such a README? I think the most obvious thing would be in packages, Redux store, and then just put a README inside this bad boy. But if you have any other wishes.
There's an issue open about it. I think it was opened a few days ago. We have a docs directory and we want to add a README to all packages, because when you now go to npm, it just shows an empty page, and we should definitely, but my idea was to keep the documentation in a single place. But I'm also fine with adding it here. We just should be consistent, I think, in how we approach it also for the other packages.
I'd say that if we, because this is all just markdown files, right? And they are linked.
Yeah.
I mean, this links through. I'd say that if you put everything together, then it might make more sense to generate a docs thing and put everything in there. I mean, not generate it, but I mean like a sort of a GitHub Pages like thing, because otherwise I agree with it. It's kind of weird to go to an npm package, this Redux store, and then you have to go into this docs directory here, which is not really related to the package itself. I can imagine it's quite confusing if you have to like go through all of that, but maybe that's just my messy brain.
Well, to me, it partially makes sense to have documentation for the specific package in the package, and then the docs outside in the mono repo would be, how would you get started? Where do you go to get the node set up and then the core and et cetera? That would be my kind of my take.
Yeah, we can do a very simple, I think if we're going like doing it in the package directory itself, you're gonna have duplication in your documentation because you want to, in the package itself, you want to say how to use it, but you also need to, I think for Redux store we'll get away with it, but more the other ones is you also need to show how it works in like the bigger picture and with the rest. So, but yeah, it's fine either way.
It would be good to have in like the Redux store, a very detailed description of how to do the, for instance, when we're talking about the Redux thing, it's just like, I guess here we put detailed descriptions of how to customize your own store, like how to set up your, like really detailed. And then the bigger picture thing would be, you can use this initialized store thing. If you want to do more crazy advanced stuff, then check out this link, which is links to the subdirectory. What is the problem you see with the other packages? I'm just wondering. This is starting to become an AFJ call. It's not.
Yeah, maybe we can
do it tomorrow.
Go over it in the issues. I think this is the issue appearance opens. Yeah. So we can have the discussion up there, but I'm fine with either way. I mean, if anyone takes the time to write it, I think that's fine to determine what where things live.
Do you know how the issue is called so I can share it? It is on top. Oh, you already posted.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Shoot and spread your opinion in this issue.
That I like to do.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing the links on those. I think that does set us in the right direction for documentation with the Redux store, at least moving that in the right direction. Awesome. Thanks for walking through on the discussion on that. Any last minute thoughts on the store?
Neil, are your questions answered?
Still no, but I do not know how they could be.
Okay, well, if you are, I don't know how much time if you have time to like wait for the documentation, but also if not, then I'd be happy to schedule a call somewhere this week, and we can like. Walk through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a call probably would be helpful from my point of view.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
We can discuss when to do that asynchronously, though, probably, right?
That would probably be better than in a recorded meeting, because otherwise we have spies. On open source code.
Awesome. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so appreciate everybody joining and the discussion we had. And we will continue the good work that we've been up to, and we will talk next time.
In 2 weeks, yeah. And I'll host then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, just to be sure. All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you soon. Cheers.